Leaders.
The case for Labour. Labour should form the next government, and not just because the Tories need a long lie down.
You would never know it from a low wattage campaign, but after 14 years of Conservative rule, Britain is on the threshold of a Labour victory so sweeping that it may break records. No party fully subscribes to the ideas that The Economist holds dear. The economic consensus in Britain has shifted away from liberal values, free trade, individual choice, and limits to state intervention. But elections are about the best available choice, and that is clear. If we had a vote on July 4th, we too would pick Labour, because it has the greatest chance of tackling the biggest problem that Britain faces, a chronic and debilitating lack of economic growth. Consider first the alternatives. We can discard some immediately. The Scottish National Party wants to dismember Britain, not run it. The Greens make student politics look rigorous. Reform UK, Nigel Farage's outfit, offers a fevered nativist vision of Britain that would accelerate the very decline it says it is striving to prevent. What of the Liberal Democrats? The logic that led us to endorse them in 2019 no longer holds. Against Boris Johnson's Brexit-obsessed Tories and Labour under Jeremy Corbyn, a hard-left charisma vacuum, they were the only choice. Today, the Lib Dems still have some good policies, letting asylum seekers work, say, or a new land value tax. But they have become more sceptical on trade and even more NIMBY-ish on planning. The Lib Dems do not aspire to be a credible party of government. They are barely credible as Liberals. Trying to make the case for the Tories is like a teacher struggling to say something nice about the class troublemaker. They have done some good things on educational standards, on regional devolution, and on the tax regime for capital investment. Rishi Sunak is a better Prime Minister than Liz Truss, though if praise came any fainter, it would be invisible. The pandemic and the invasion of Ukraine, where they also did well, vastly complicated their time in office. But the other side of the ledger is long and damning. The public realm has been hollowed out. Prisons are full. Local government is badly underfunded. And if the National Health Service is still a national treasure, that may be because treatment is so hard to find. On migration, the Tories are illiberal and ineffective. They want to crack down on it, yet have presided over record levels of net migration. They have become increasingly hostile to policies designed to combat climate change. Above all, they have failed to build. Housing supply lags behind demand, and grid connections take years to materialise. The Tories' most memorable policy is to have severed the country from its biggest trading partner. That was always going to be bad for Britain. But the chaos of enacting Brexit split the party, and voters have had to endure the Tory psychodrama ever since. Each Prime Minister has undone the work of the previous one. The party has neglected its prosperous voters in the South East. From drinking sessions in Downing Street during the pandemic, to bets allegedly placed on the timing of the election, a film of sleaze clings to the Conservatives. Although the Tory party does not deserve our endorsement, wishing its obliteration would be wrong. The British electorate has become more volatile. The political pendulum could swing away from Labour within a single five-year term. Whenever it does so, Britain will need a capable opposition party to offer an alternative. A Tory catastrophe and a strong showing for Mr. Farage, who dreams of staging a reverse Tory takeover, would heighten the risk that the Conservatives lurch towards a dark, populist extreme. Britain needs the party to rediscover its conservative, pro-market instincts. This is the negative case for voting Labour, but there are positive arguments too. The first is that the party has been transformed. Since the last election, Sir Keir Starmer has expelled Mr. Corbyn, rooted out many of his fellow travellers, and dragged Labour away from radical socialism. The Economist disagrees with the party on many things, such as its plan to create a publicly owned energy provider. But elections are when voters mete out rewards as well as punishments, and Labour's reinvention deserves credit. The second positive reason to back Labour is its focus on growth. The party is right in its diagnosis that nothing matters more than solving Britain's stagnant productivity. Its young, aspiring, urban supporters will give it permission to act in ways that the Conservatives have avoided. The most obvious of these is building more houses and infrastructure and forging closer relations with Europe. The party of public services may also have more latitude to reform them than the Tories would. The question that hangs over Labour is how radical it will be in pursuit of growth. It has run a maddeningly cautious campaign, choosing to reassure voters rather than seek a mandate for bold change. It does not help that Sir Keir, having been in Mr. Corbyn's shadow cabinet before ejecting him, seems to turn with the wind. Having strenuously avoided the subject in the campaign, a Labour government will need to raise taxes, as would a Conservative one, if it was not to wreck public services. For all these reasons, having failed to set out a vision to steer by, Prime Minister Starmer could more easily be blown off course by events or sidetracked by growth-stifling left-wing preoccupations, such as beefing up workers' rights, stamping out inequality, and doling out industrial subsidies. Sir Keir's answer to this criticism of him as a campaigner should be his determination and competence in office. His method is to work relentlessly towards a goal, ratcheting up pressure as he goes. After years of post-Brexit conservative ideological lurches, that in itself will be worth something. If Labour also succeeds in overhauling the planning regime, strengthening ties with Europe, giving fiscal power to cities, focusing the Treasury on growth, and rationalising the tax system, the picture will brighten and Britain will be better off. Sir Keir and his party have earned the chance to try.